It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Happy day after the 4th of July, celebrating 250 years of our nation. But we have another reason to celebrate today. I have my friend here, and I'm not going to say he's 250 years old, but I think for the last few months, he probably felt like he was about 250 years old. We are so happy for the recovery of my good friend, Jim Barrier.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson wheat, I'm back in the saddle again.
All right, well, classic homage to Gene Autry. Believe it or not, people used to go to movies and pay money to hear music like that, but still, it's an American institution. Jim, how you doing?
You know what? I am doing great, and that just lifted my spirits. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Gene Autry, who was once the owner of the California Angels.
That I did not know. As Johnny Carson used to say, I did not know that.
I'm a fountain of useless information, Bob. You should know that by now.
It is so good to be here. It's
wonderful to see you.
A half a year almost.
We've been talking about you a lot on the air and praying for you every single day.
Well, people talk about me all the time. And folks, that's a good example of why you need to be selective about what you hear on the radio. Okay, well, yeah, I've been gone. I'm going to go into detail. I'm going to tell why I've been out of commission here for a while. But I want to say a couple of things. Again, happy birthday, America. What an awesome thing. And I want to talk about, just briefly, because we do talk sports sometimes when I'm on the show, the World Cup. Now, I have not watched any of the games, but I've watched a whole lot of videos.
Well, you know, even people that are into sports and more into sports than I am will usually say here in America that they don't watch soccer.
Yeah.
But this has been different. This has been huge.
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge. Just the things that people coming to our country are saying about our country positively.
That's the part I really love. I've watched a bunch of that. And the Europeans have come over here and they're saying, we've been lied to. They told us that America's terrible, the people are terrible.
We in America are being lied to also about America by our media.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So once again, be careful about what you listen to or believe in any media, any form of media, but we tell the truth
here. And just little things like being able to get a hamburger, being able to get the portions you want in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Shopping at Walmart. Things that we just take for granted.
Oh, they love Walmart.
Yeah. Well,
and they love, we have.
Probably because it's not rationed like some of the socialist countries they come out of.
They also love Buc-ee's, which is big out where I live.
I had never even heard of Buc-ee's till I heard all the talk about it this last week.
Well, it's
apparently a gas station. You stop there, but they've got all kinds of other things, too. I was told they have a few in California, but I've never seen them.
Well, they're spreading out. I know they've gone as far as Florida, but yeah, Buc-ee's is a big deal. It's a giant gas station with 100 pumps sometimes and then you go inside and it's this huge place with all the junk food you could possibly want, and they boast the cleanest restrooms.
Boy, that alone would be worth the stop.
It is, it is. So Buc-ee's, but I love that. Now I want to say this before we move on to something a little more serious. The FIFA people, the people that put on the World Cup missed a huge opportunity. A huge opportunity that they didn't have scheduled yesterday, the United States playing Britain. Why did they not do that?
Wouldn't that have been the perfect? On the other hand, if we had lost to the Brits on the 4th of July.
Good point.
That would not have been good.
But I think that would have been a great
moment. But on the other hand, if we beat them on the 4th of July, it would have been sensational.
We have a lot of British friends, and they always send out a little thing. They say, Happy Traitors Day.
I love that line from The Great Escape, my favorite war movie, where mostly British officers. But there were a few American officers there, and they're drinking some whiskey. And one of the British officer turns to the American, and he goes, how are you getting getting along over there without us? Getting along okay, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting along fine, sir. It was pretty funny.
Well, so there you go. There's your World Cup. USA, USA. Go USA. I'm all for it. And it's football, by the way. They call it football.
They call it football. Yeah. Trump, who always makes, speaking of making the obvious, will say, we use our feet very little in football. Wouldn't that be a better title? I mean, that is kind of an obvious observation.
Well, yeah.
There's very little kicking in an actual game of what we call football.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But that's what it is. It is what it is, somebody said.
Football.
Yeah. So the reason I'm here tonight is, one, because it's been a long time.
Well, you're still alive. That's one of the reasons you're here.
And for people that wonder what we're talking about, here's what happened, folks. On January 21st of this year, I was awake at about 3 a.m., that's not unusual. I sometimes wake up at the wee hours and I get inspired and I write articles or I'll write songs or I'll pray, a number of things. But this time I was awake and it was nothing inspirational. I just was uncomfortable and I couldn't sleep. And I thought, well, I'll sit in my easy chair. That usually does a trick. Didn't work. And I felt this tightness around my chest, like someone, you know, you go to the Christmas tree farm and they put the tree in that net.
Right, right.
I felt like I'd been stuffed into one of those.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, there was no paralysis, there was no pain, but it was just, I'd never felt this, and twice.
Oh, so there was no pain at that
No
moment.
Pain.
It was just a tightening.
Tightness.
Wow, that's very interesting.
But twice, the words heart attack went through my mind. Now, I could have done this thing that some American males would do and just say, I'm going to power through, I'm going to sleep it off, I'll be okay in the morning, and there would have been no
or
morning.
Or if it was me, I'd just pop an aspirin, because it's supposed to thin your blood. And
But I just knew it was weird. It was totally unfamiliar. I went and woke Leslie up.
Good call. Very good call.
I said, there's something wrong with my body. Take me to emergency. So we first went to a little place. I call them Doc in the Box. You know, little emergency place on the corner. And they wouldn't take my insurance. And they said, but there's a Baptist Healthcare emergency.
Seriously? You walk into a place, tell them you're having an emergency, and they're going to haggle with you about insurance? Why didn't you just tell them you were in the country illegally, Jim? They'd have let you right in.
Well, I know. I should have said that. I should have spoken Spanish.
Yeah.
Yo estoy enfermo. They sent me to another place run by the Baptist Healthcare System. Went in there, and they immediately assessed it. And they hooked me up with the EKGs, and they're doing all the stuff. And I'm over there laying on a table with wires all over me. And my wife, I can see her through the door in the other room, and the doctor's talking to her. And I see Leslie start crying. I thought, that's not good. I'm a really sharp guy.
Yeah.
Well, they said that the results were ST depressed. And they ran another one and said, now it's an ST accelerated.
And you're saying, can you translate that into English for
me? Yes. I had, well, myocardial infarction. I had a heart attack.
Why couldn't they have just said that?
Yeah. Well, they talk in doctor talk.
Yeah.
And I said, darn it, Jim. I'm not a doctor. I'm a physician.
I'm speaking of Spock. In other words, to heart attack. Yeah. One might have said so in the first place.
Exactly. What that was, the STEMI is that one artery was 100% blocked.
Wow. 100%.
We have an ambulance. We're going to take you over there. By the time you get to the hospital, they'll be waiting for you. And they were. And we went in there, and they did. First, they tried angioplasty with a little balloon.
Yeah.
And the artery was so clogged that that wouldn't work. The balloon.
But it's good to try that, because if that would have worked, then it would have been less invasive.
So that didn't work, so they put a stent in, which is like a little.
And that does kind of a temporary fix for a while.
Well,
right?
It'll be there forever. But, but that opened up the artery.
But they still wanted to do it, because I know you were feeling better after that, but then they wanted to do open heart surgery.
Yeah, they said, we'll do this, but you have more.
They wanted to do a bypass, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So that was later on. So they did that, and they said, if we don't operate now, he will not survive. That's sobering.
Yeah. Well, thanks for at least telling us that, doctor.
Well, and, you know, it's kind of a wake-up call or a danger of going to sleep call. I'm in the ambulance riding over to the hospital, and the tech in the back with me says, sir, do you know why you're here? I said, well, I think I had a heart attack. And he said, no, you're having one right now. I'm in the ambulance having a heart attack.
See, now that's the kind of news that could give you a heart attack just listening to him.
Well, you know, you hear stories all the time. I do. And immediately, it's like time stood still. And I took inventory and I thought, okay, have I lived my life properly? Have I honored God? Have I been a man of faith? And I'm checking off all the boxes. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is it, take me home. I'm ready to go. It makes me sad that I'll never see Leslie again or any of my other friends, but I'm ready if this is it. And then before I knew it, we're in the hospital. They're fixing me up. It's pretty amazing what they can do today with medical science. Maybe a generation ago, I'd been done. But they did what they did, fixed me up, and they said, we're going to have to schedule bypass surgery because you have more damage.
Now, how were you? I know that after the bypass, you were really out of commission for a long time. How were you after the first thing, the stents? Were you able to get around okay, and did things seem normal again
for those few weeks
in between?
Well, it was very touch and go, very low energy.
Okay, but you had the usage of your arms and things.
I could walk around and stuff, but it was, you know, climbing stairs,
that
things
was
like
difficult.
That. Was
right.
I'd get winded really fast.
Right.
And they had me on precautions. They wanted me to be careful so that I could, you know, get strong enough to go do the bypass surgery.
Right, of course.
Which they scheduled like 2 months later. So that's what we did. I went back in on March 19th. So that's almost 2 full months.
Right. Almost exactly 2 months.
And that's a long time to think about things, to think about life. Now, again, and you know me, we've been friends for a long time, and I pastored for 40 years, and I've done things that I've done mission trips. I've done things that I think are worthwhile. I think I've invested my life well. But you really think about big picture, eternity, what really, really matters. And that's what I came out of this whole thing with. And in those 2 months between the initial heart attack and the surgery, I had a lot of time to think and pray and plan.
I bet it gave you a completely different perspective, and you had a pretty good perspective before. Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. Lots of talk and celebration at Mount Rushmore this year. Well, in that vein, breaking news. There was a decision to put a fifth figure on Mount Rushmore. No, it's not Donald Trump. It's going to be Joe Biden, but it's going to be shaped as an auto pen. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
You set the hook. I thought you were going somewhere with that. Was true.
Okay, so I'm getting ready to go have bypass surgery. I'm going to flash back now, a little time travel. I became a believer in Jesus Christ when I was 16 in 1968, and it was through Skyline Church that you're a part of. And I was a brand new baby Christian. I had not been raised in church and didn't know anything. But one thing, I'd been encouraged to read the Bible, and I immersed myself in the scripture. I devoured it. Well, I had developed this cough that I couldn't get rid of. And I went to a doctor who attended the church there, Dr. Kanaga. I went to school with his daughter. And he did tests. He said, "You have walking pneumonia. And if you had not visited me, you would have lived about another 3 weeks." And so I was on bed rest. They had me on breathers. I'm taking antibiotics. And finally he said, "Okay, you're well. The pneumonia's gone." But I still had this nagging cough. And so I had read in the Bible, in James, it says, "Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And they'll pray for him and anoint him with oil and you'll be healed." So I went to the pastor after service one Sunday morning, Pastor Orville Butcher, great, great preacher. And I said, "This is what it says here." I said, "I had walking pneumonia. Dr. Kanaga treated me, and he said I'm okay, but I keep coughing. And I would like to ask you and the elders to pray for me." And he gathered a bunch of men around, and he pulled out a little bottle of oil they had in the pulpit. I never saw it before or after. They anointed me with oil. The cough went away.
And did it go away instantly?
Instantly.
Wow. Great.
And I thought, so here I'm a baby Christian. I thought, well, okay, this stuff in the Bible works.
I'd say that was pretty convincing.
So flash forward, here I am getting ready the week that I'm going to go in for surgery. My pastor of the church that I now attend calls me and he says, "Sunday morning, I'd like to have the elders pray for you before you go into surgery." And of course, all of that stuff, it went full circle. And I thought,
well,
I believe in this. And they prayed for me. So I headed to the hospital on March 19th. 5:30 in the morning is when they're admitting me. And friends of ours that live up the street, they're believers, Peter and Kay, and I've known them for a long time, and she's a nurse, and she brought me this little plush toy turtle. Now, when you have open heart surgery, they give you a heart pillow, because if you cough or sneeze or anything, it hurts like the dickens, and you press that against your chest.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And she said, "Use this for your heart pillow." So I said, "Okay, thank you." And so someone said, "Well, what's the turtle's name?" And I thought, I've always liked the name Harvey.
Going back to Jimmy Stewart.
And so I named the turtle Harvey. And Harvey later became a celebrity there in the hospital. But so
did they know he was supposed to really be a rabbit in the original
story? don't tell anybody that. No one could see the rabbit.
That's true.
The rabbit was there. But the point was, she said, "This represents all of the prayers and love."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. That are covering you right now. And I literally, Bob, I had people around the world praying for me. I had prayer groups. It was just...
Well, that just shows how well-liked and revered you are. Seriously, every single day since I've heard the news, I've been praying for you. And I know that so many others were, too.
And I appreciate it. And as good as the doctors were that I had, and I had the best...
You want to give the credit to the
prayers, I believe, did so much to see me through that. So I kept Harvey with me everywhere I went. Now, while I was in the hospital, I was there for 10, 11 days, starting with the surgery and then, well, maybe 12 days. But I had over 30 different visitors, individuals that came to see me. Some came more than once. I had emails, instant messages. My phone was blowing up constantly with text messages, people encouraging me, praying for me. And Harvey became important to me. He represented all of that.
Yeah, what a great picture and symbol of all that.
You know, I've talked about the wheelchair distributions that I've gone
on. Right, right, in Mexico.
Yeah, and my friend Lonnie Davis and his wife Lisa run those things. Lisa called while I was in the hospital and said, talked to Leslie, she said, "Do you need us to come out there? We have a distribution coming up this week, but Lonnie will get someone else to run it." Now, Lonnie's never turned over a distribution to anybody.
Wow.
And I thought,
Well, that just shows what a friend he is.
It was tremendous. I said, we're good, we're covered, but thank you so much. But I had that kind of love and support from people. So that was huge. Well, it turns out they had to do a triple bypass. So there were three places on my heart, arteries that needed to be repaired. Two of them.
So there was one completely blocked, but then there were some others partially blocked, I think.
Yeah, and those they could repair. I don't know what they use, like a little inner tube patch kit.
So when you say bypass, did they bypass all three or just bypass the one that was
unrepairable? No, the three places were all bypassed.
They were all, Oh, that's what they mean by triple bypass.
And what they do is they take an artery out of my leg and use that. And
oh, my goodness.
So, it's crazy.
Well, but then what about your leg? Doesn't it need an artery, too?
No, the other ones take over and grow. And
oh, that's pretty amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
the human body. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
So two of the bypasses were on the LAD, which is the left anterior descending artery, also known as the widowmaker.
Oh, so they're not usually successful.
That's the big one. That's the one that they can't put a stent in.
Were you told ahead of time that that one is not always successful?
Well, they knew there was a problem. They didn't know how bad it was. That artery supplies 50% of the blood to the heart. If that one goes, that's why they call it the widowmaker. If that one goes, you're toast. So they did the bypass. It took almost 5 hours to do this procedure. They did all the stuff. I was in ICU for 2 days. I missed an entire day after the surgery because I had so many drugs in me.
Right. You didn't know what day it was.
I was goofy. But I eventually came to, and then they moved me to a recovery room. And then they put me in acute rehab unit for 9 days.
Now, what does acute rehab unit mean? Does that stand for something, or do they
mean
it's
serious?
Cute?
It's if you had a big, big problem and they're doing recovery. I couldn't walk down the hall.
So what does CUTE stand for? Or does it stand for something?
Okay.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just assumed that they didn't mean it was a cute-looking room because of the furniture.
No. It's the recovery unit when you've had serious
issues. They call it the cute room.
Well, they call it acute.
Oh, acute. Oh, I must have heard you wrong. Acute. I thought you were just saying... Well, you said acute room. I thought you meant a acute room.
Oh, well, it was. Some of the nurses were, but it was the acute rehab unit. And I'm there for 9 days, and they do two things. They do PT and OT. PT is physical therapy. So it's where they actually help you to relearn how to walk.
Right.
And keep your balance and do stuff. And at first, I mean, I couldn't even walk down the hall. And then eventually I got to where I could walk around the whole floor. The other is called occupational therapy, which... isn't what it sounds like to me.
Yeah,
I said, hey, look, guys.
Seminar on vocations.
Yeah, I said, I'm retired. I'm not looking for a job. Well,
so
what it is,
that?
It's relearning how to do little chores, things that you would normally do around a house or yard, because all my coordination, everything was just fritzed out. So, you know, doing things, puzzles and stuff, and working manually.
So did you ever say to Leslie, you know, the doctors just tell me I'll probably never be able to take out the trash again. I'm really sorry, honey.
You know, no, because most of them were women, and they weren't going to let me get away with that. But I got through that. Now, during this whole time, Harvey became a celebrity, and everybody on the sixth floor of that hospital knew about Harvey.
So they all wanted to come and see him?
Yeah, they said, oh, who's the guy with the turtle? What's the deal? And so I told them all the story. And one time a nurse walked in the room, and she said, that must be Harvey. She wanted to serious. It was a wonderful thing because they all knew what Harvey represented and that I had all this support, which really carried me. The doctors, the technicians, the nurses, they were all awesome. But I had so much moral support, prayer support, love from people. It really, really carried me. It was quite an experience going through that. And there were doctors, all kinds of people. One doctor came in, introduced herself. I'm Dr. McKinnon, and she's talking to me for a while, and then left. There was a bunch of them. They all came in, and she left, and Leslie said, that was the psychiatrist. And I said, oh, really? The next day, when I was over there in therapy, she walked by and I said, hey, Doc, I just want you to know that I know what you were doing yesterday. You were shrinking me. And she said, hey, she put her finger to her lips and said, you'll blow my cover. So I got well known. People would come in just to visit. I mean, nurses and staff would come in.
They really want to visit you, or did they
just
want
to
look at Harvey?
No, they just wanted, it was Harvey. But, I mean, it was just tremendous, the rapport that I built with those people. And I'll tell you a little bit more later.
Okay, we'll hold that thought. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, the only show that has a show within a show. That's right, after a long hiatus, it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Also known as Jim Barrier's wife's favorite show, for sure.
Yes.
Now, you've had 6 months. I know you put a lot of work and thought into this, so sure what do you did. Got?
Well, first off, before I get into the song, I just want to say on a personal behalf of me, Jim, I am so glad you're back in the studio. So glad to have you here and telling this heroic story. I mean, man, the amount of people who can be inspired by your story, this is just going to be an amazing thing to finish
awesome.
Up tonight.
So thank you.
On a personal level, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Okay.
All right. Now, it only seems fair with the song that I chose, it actually works with how Jim is right now. So without any further ado, Jim, here is your Stump Jim Barrier song.
Welcome back.
You got it.
Oh, the great John B. Sebastian, formerly of Love and Spoonful, theme song from the Welcome Back show starring Gabe Kaplan.
Which was a horrible sitcom. I couldn't stand Welcome Back, Connor. And I know it gave John Travolta his start, but I don't like John Travolta either.
But it's a great song. This guy...
The song's okay.
I'll tell you a story about John Sebastian. He's one of my favorites.
Very appropriate, Brendan.
Thank you.
That was awesome. John Sebastian was in a band called Love and Spoonful.
Oh, I knew that band.
Yeah. Do You Believe in Magic? Summer
in
the
City. Didn't have to be so summer, nice. Yeah. I would have loved anyway.
A number of things. He was also in a group called the Mugwumps with two of the Mamas and the Papas before they were famous. Wow. So there you go. John Sebastian, great songwriter. And he wrote the song, What a Day for a Daydream. Remember that?
And
there's a clip. John Lennon's trying to figure it out on the guitar, and he can't figure out the chords.
But didn't another group make that song famous? Didn't Love and Spoonful sing What a Day for a Daydream?
Love and Spoonful.
Okay, right.
What a Day for a Daydream.
Right.
Lennon couldn't figure the song out, and so he's caught on tape going,
Well, he didn't say darn, but darn Tunesmith.
Right.
And that was one of the highest.
Our imagination.
And John Sebastian loved that John Lennon called him a darn Tunesmith. Okay,
the FCC inspires a lot of imagination here on the radio.
If I can point out one fun fact about this song, Eric. So Alan Sachs was the TV producer for the show of Welcome Back, Carter. He actually was able to get in contact with John Sebastian's agent, who said, I want a Lovin' Spoonful like theme song. So Sebastian started writing, and he got stuck immediately because he's like, well, I can't think of any word that rhymes with cotter besides otter, and that's just too stupid to put in the song.
Hey, did that become a hit song on the radio in its own or was it only for the TV show?
Yeah, it actually went to number one for 1 week.
Because I know sometimes a TV theme song will also make a big hit. Like Hawaii Five-O became a hit on the radio, too.
Hey, listen, water rhymes with cotter.
If you stretch it.
Well, if you want to say water.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, well, there you go. So thank you so much and welcome back, Jim. We're glad to have you back on the show.
It's good to be stumped or tried to be stumped or
whatever.
So
he's welcomed back and he's back in the saddle.
Exactly. That's right. Oh, man, we're on a roll. So I got through the time with the physical therapy, occupational therapy, and then they said, now we're going to schedule you for 12 weeks of cardio rehab, which is you go to the gym, and they have one there on site. So I went back to the hospital 3 times a week, and I'm working on treadmills and recumbent bikes and elliptical machines. And
I imagine you had to start pretty low and slow.
And
they don't want you doing a lot right away.
Yeah, and every week it increases either the resistance or the speed or the time. But I did that for 12 weeks. And they put a monitor around, strap it around my chest, so they're watching all of my responses physically on how I'm doing. When I felt like the $6 million man. So I did that for 12 weeks, and I got better and better every week. Got a little stronger, could go a little further, a little faster, and I could feel it. I could feel that I was getting built up. That was very encouraging. I told them the techs there in that room were just awesome. I said, you guys are great. You know how to push me without being pushy. And they did. They encouraged me, but they didn't let me slack. They also don't want to overwork you because you could do some damage there.
It must be a very delicate balance.
Yeah, and they're all trained professionals. They were just wonderful people. Now, here's a story. I'm there working with these people, and I got to know them very well because it was the same 6 people that work the gym, and they have other clients. There's other patients in there. But I got to know them all really well. And 2nd or 3rd week, Michaela, one of the techs, was talking. She got to know me, and I told her I was a retired pastor and stuff. And she said, oh, you know, my fiance and I are looking for a church. We haven't been able to find the right church, and we're kind of up on the northeast side of town off of 35. And I said, well, I go to River City Community Church. And she says, oh, that's on our list to visit. And I said, well, go check it out. And I said, in churches, often it's like trying on shoes. Sometimes it doesn't fit, so you got to try something else. So the next week I see her, and she said, we went to River City, we're joining the church.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, for me, I felt like I was Paul the Apostle in prison converting guards.
There you go. That's right.
But that was a sweet thing. And I told my congregation when I retired, lo, these many years ago, I can't retire from my calling or who I am. So I continue to do all these things. I still preach funerals, and I do weddings, and I do all the, I counsel, I'm doing stuff all the time. I just don't get paid for it. And so I was there ministering to people in the hospital the whole time. And they did. They would come in. Some would just want to come in and sit and chat and tell me their stories. And
that is so great that God used your situation.
It was tremendous. I was really tickled about that. Now, one of the things that happened back in the hospital room, this hospital is the Baptist hospital there, and their policy is they don't put restrictions on visitor hours because they believe that your family and loved ones play a big part in your healing process. So for the entire time I was in there, either Leslie or one of my 2 daughters, Leah or Jamie, were with me 24/7.
Oh, that makes such a difference.
They had a couch folded out and made a bed. And it really made a difference.
I imagine a hospital could be a very lonely place.
Oh, gosh. And some of the staff there said, you know, we have patients that don't have any visitors the whole time.
I just can't imagine that.
Oh, that'd be brutal.
Heart-wrenching.
And one night, I was having trouble breathing. I'm wheezing, and it was kind of scary.
you're wondering if you're having some kind of relapse.
Well, I didn't know what, and the night nurse came in and she heard me. She says, there's something wrong. They put a mask on me, and immediately there's like a half a dozen people in there. They're taking x-rays and sonograms, and they got me all hooked up, and they're trying to figure out what's wrong. They're trying to draw blood, and I'm one of those people, one of my nurses calls me a turnip because you can't get blood. It's really hard to draw blood from me for some reason, and they're doing that, and Jamie, my youngest daughter, was there with me, and she'd had about enough of it, and she inserts herself into this crowd and says, if you can't do this, get someone in here who can.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah, she was my advocate, and they brought somebody from IU, and boom, he knew just what to do, and they got blood.
You know, I'm thinking here, it's a good thing this didn't happen to you during 2020. They would have just told you that you had COVID. They wouldn't have done anything else.
Yeah, and this place, they don't buy into that, at least now. So anyway, I had great support. I came through it all. I just finished, a little over a week ago, finished my final sessions in the cardiac rehab, and they gave me the green light. And until that time, I didn't do any travel, couldn't do anything because I'm trying to get well. I'm still only about 80%, but I'll keep working on it, and I'll keep seeing the doctors. And I went through this time, when I couldn't breathe. So what it turns out is my chest cavity had filled up with fluid. And the doctor described, he said, if you roll your ankle, it swells up. And all these fluids run down there to administer.
Oh, so it was because of your ankle that you were filling up with?
No. But it did that. My heart had been beat so bad that fluids rushed into my chest cavity. And it was constricting my lungs and I couldn't breathe.
But what was causing the fluids to rush into
just the bruising to my heart.
Okay.
From all the stuff they did. I mean, 5 hours of, you know, I mean.
I would have thought they would have understood that right away instead of having.
Well, it's normal. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, we'll hold that thought,
Jim.
We'll
come back.
We'll come back for one more segment.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love, and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
What a privilege to hear about the recovery of my dear friend. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
So we're going to wrap up here. I wanted to finish the story about my lungs, and it turned out that there was fluid surrounding my lungs in the chest cavity. So they scheduled next morning thoracentesis, from the word thorax. I'm sitting on the edge of the bed while a doctor behind me sticks the big needle up my back and starts drawing fluid. And the first day, they took out over a half a liter of fluid from my right side, and they came back the next day to do the left side when they took out 0.8 liter. That's a lot of juice.
It's almost a king-sized Slurpee at 7-11.
Exactly, exactly. I didn't look at it. Leslie saw it.
You probably wouldn't have wanted to look at it.
So some of these people are really good at what they do. So while he's doing this procedure, he's talking to me and asking me questions. Well, what do you do? And I'm telling him, you know, stuff. So the second day he comes in, he says, so, Mr. Barrier, I know you've been to all of the baseball stadiums. I know that you're a retired pastor. You've published some books. You've had a podcast and you've been on the radio. And he listened to me the whole time. And he said, what else? So I told him some more stuff, and he finished the thing. It was really not that painful. They numb it up, and then they stick the needle and draw the stuff out, and he's done. Well, one of the aides that was there helping, he's a nurse, named Emmanuel, and when they took all the equipment out and left, he stayed there. He said, can we talk for a while? I said, sure. And so I'm talking to this guy just because he was comfortable having a conversation with me, and it was just that kind of stuff.
That is just wonderful.
It was a cool thing. I saw Emmanuel several weeks later when I was down at the gym doing cardiac rehab, and I saw him and said, hey, Emmanuel, how you doing? And he remembered me. Of course, he remembered Harvey the Turtle.
Yeah, I think Harvey's going to be the name they remember more than Jim.
Oh, absolutely. Harvey was a celebrity during that time. So it was quite an ordeal. Now, during the course of this, you know, you have ups and downs. Maybe you take 2 steps forward, 1 back. I don't know. And there were a couple of times when I just thought, Lord, can you just heal me, make everything go away? And I was reminded of the story with Paul the Apostle. And he said he had a thorn in the flesh. And he asked the Lord 3 times to remove it. And all the Lord said was, my grace is sufficient.
Said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Exactly. And that got driven home with me that, one, I'm alive and I'm grateful for that. But two, I can let his grace be sufficient and I can be let his strength be manifest in my weakness. And so it was a living lesson. And again, I've made these comparisons to the Apostle Paul. I am nowhere on his level. I wouldn't claim to be, but we learn from his life and other great Christians. And I hope people learn from my life. And I'm telling this story because I want people to be encouraged to know that there is hope. You can get through these things. One of the things that we found out when all of this happened, I go to my doctor every year, get a checkup, and my numbers have been perfect. My blood sugar, my blood pressure, my cholesterol, everything is perfect, and yet I had a heart attack. So we found out from one of the pastors at my church that there is a test you can go take. It's a CT calcium scoring test. Now, in Texas, it runs about $150, but it will pick up things that none of the other tests are showing, and you could save your life if you take that test and they find something with your calcium levels. Now, it's probably more in California, frankly. Everything is.
There's a surprise.
But I would say to anybody out there, if you've been, you know, felt like you're playing it safe, everything's good, and you don't show any problems, especially men, because men have more problems with this, go get the CT calcium scoring test. Ask your doctor to prescribe it. And if it costs $150, it costs you $200. If it saves your life, then that was money well spent. And if there's nothing wrong, you have peace of mind. So I just wanted to put that plug in. That was something that we learned. Had I done that, they still would have had to do a lot of treatment, but I might not have gone through all the trauma and stress that I did.
Exactly.
So from January 21st, that was the heart attack, then March 19th, the surgery, and then therapy, which went right up until June 26th. That's when I finished. So I had this 5-month journey, and I had a lot of time to reflect on things. And as I said earlier, I'm not ashamed of my life. I think I've followed my calling and done well. But it became very, very clear to me that relationships are the most important thing. And when I got out of surgery,
Hadn't even done all the rehab stuff, but I got out of surgery and I could think clearly. And I told Leslie, I need to go visit my sister when we're done with all of this. I have one blood relative on this planet. She's older than me, and her husband died from heart failure. And we're all we've got as far as that family. And so I called my sister, who lives in Surprise, Arizona. Now, some of you may know the reason she lives in Surprise is because that's where the Padres have spring training. And she moved there just so she could go to spring training games. She's a bigger Padre fan than me or Brandon. And so I called Barb and I said, hey, we want to come out and visit. And she says, I have a better idea. I'll meet you in San Diego and we'll go to a Padre game. So we're going to do that tomorrow night. And that's the reason I'm in San Diego.
Is she listening to you tonight on the radio?
I hope so. Yeah. So my perspective is that here it is. The only thing that we take out of this life into the next are relationships. The car, the bank account, the house, none of that. But the relationships that God trusts you with, if they have become believers and come to know Christ, those people you will know for eternity. And that's a big lesson that has really become clearly dominant in my life.
And you seem to be somebody who was living that way before, but it sounds like that lesson was given to you even more acutely.
Much more acutely. And
I did say acute, not acute.
Yeah. So here I am with my good friends and all of that because I had a little glimpse. It was kind of like that It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart,
right?
Again.
There he is. So Jimmy Stewart's the star of tonight's show. I never knew I had so many friends. All right, Jim, it's wonderful having you here. We'll see you all next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.